Heavenly Father, thank you again. Thank you for this time. Thank you. We pray that you would continue to just bless our hearts and that we may hear you afresh. Anything that's been on our minds or weighing on our hearts, help us to just surrender it to you, to let it go, to know that you are big enough to handle anything and everything. We give you all the praise, all the honor. It's in your name we pray, amen. On this Memorial weekend, I was reminded, if you will, that this is not a time of celebration. Most holidays we have in our country, we celebrate. We might put on the grill and put out the banners, or at least if you will, you know, enjoy the beach. Memorial Sunday is not a celebration. It's a time of reflection. It's a time of remembering those who have given the ultimate sacrifice. Decisions they made. Decisions for why we're even able to come together today in worship and freedom. And we don't take that lightly. On this Memorial Sunday, though, and graduation and training, could we put another thing here? You might have noticed that we did some decorating in our area, if you will. These are all the banners representing all the children that from each year that were part of our school. One of our ministry partners, our primary ministry partner. And so from 2006, in case you're wondering when we started, which starts out there, and they work their way all the way around, and then Tuesday, before we get started with the end of the year ceremonies this week for them, they'll have another banner up here with their actual little tiny hands. And it's just such a joy to see children, families that have been here before, and they go and find their handprints. They go and find, oh, this is mine. And they put their hand over it, and they're like, whoa, like I was that small. You know, it's just their minds are like, wait a minute, you know. And it's just one of those things. It's the days might seem long, but the years fly by, right? The years are quick. And it's one of those things before we can just miss it, that God has been doing a great work in us and through us for many, many years. It was his idea about the school. It wasn't ours. You can ask Pastor George and Miss Diane, when they started the church, they weren't intending to do a school. That was not their, they were tasked. How is the community going to know God loves them the other 6 days? Whoa, what a great challenge. I want to talk to you today about some decisions people made that were not the best, if you will, and yet how God is for us even in spite of it. Decisions. Have you made a decision that you thought was the absolute best for you and it turned out not to be best for you? Come on, you know you have these decisions that you have made. Sometimes we can easily go back to, okay, teenage years. No offense, Maxwell. Sometimes we go back to our teenage years and we go, ooh, yeah, that would have been nice to have not fill in the blank. Absolutely. Every one of us have decisions that we wish we never made. But we were certain that those decisions were okay. Maybe because the decisions we were making, even though if we felt like maybe this is not exactly what God wants me to do, is it really that big a deal? I mean, does it really matter to him? This thing called sin that sometimes we just kind of almost skirt around sometimes, simple, sweet. It's just the way it is. It's when we choose our will instead of God's will. It's when we want what we want more than surrendering and submitting to what God wants. Again, if you made a decision you thought was best for you and it turned out you didn't know what was best for you. See, I want to talk to you how God is for you today. And at times when we make our bad decisions, especially, we'll find out that you weren't for you. I'm not for me at times. Because decisions I make sometimes aren't really the best for me. Sometimes, if you will, when it comes to these things that attracts us and our attention and our desire and our hearts, it's amazing how sometimes that stuff starts to attack us after a while. It attracts us and then attacks us. God's ways are best, and that's something I can tell you, but until you and I finally come and say, Lord, not my will, but your will, we might just think of it as a nice thought. Sure, God's, yeah, but I mean, this is the real world. I mean, come on, how do we deal with that? God's ways are the best. There was a time in your life when you did not believe that, and there might still be this time, and that's okay if that's where you're at. The good news is God's for you no matter where you're at. But I want to talk to you, if you will, just in a minute, about someone who, again, made decision after decision after decision that just you just went, what are they thinking? Why are they doing that? Thy will, not my will, be done. What would it look like for you to say this on a daily basis? What would it look like for you to go before the Lord and say, this day, Lord, not my will, but your will. This day is not all about what I want. Help me to remember that. Help me to serve where you want me to serve. What it comes down to is this thing called surrender. See, following Jesus will make your life better and make you better at life. And the challenge that you and I face every day is, are we going to surrender these decisions? Are we going to surrender what he thinks is best and help us to have fewer regrets? What it comes down to, what I want to get to, is how, if you will, a little bit of a history lesson here, is how the nation of Israel became divided at one point. There was a lot of kings. Some people know the first king of Israel, Saul. And then we had this other guy, anyone? David, maybe? Okay, that's okay. We'll pick it up later. And then the Solomon and so on and so forth. And there comes a point, if you will, where you see time and time again these words, and they did evil in the sight of the Lord. And you're like, oh. I know this is a historical document. This doesn't relate to us today. I mean, no one in power ever takes advantage of that power. I know. But the reality is it got so bad that they became, if you will, divided. And so we had this northern kingdom of Israel and the southern kingdom of Judah. And Israel ends up actually being taken out more quickly than Judah. Judah, if you will, is where Jesus actually, his lineage comes from. But so you have this Israel and Judah kind of separation. The whole reason they're separated again is because they really like where their neighbors are at. They like what their neighbors are doing and what they're getting and how they live. If anything, I think God's like, you like the ways of your neighbors? Fine. we'll let you experience what that life is like. And so many times when they would do this evil, God would let the other nations come in and say, okay, you're going to be my judgment on them. Not because he was grumpy and he was mad, but because he cared about them and he wanted them to know that this was not the way, that this way would not lead to life. So let me pick one king out of here, that Zedekiah. Now again, this is a you don't really probably run into many Zedekiahs in your average day today. But if you do, know that he was named after a really bad king. Don't tell him that. Just roll on with it. But anyhow, Zedekiah was 21 years old when he became king. Then he reigned in Jerusalem 11 years. Okay, 21. If you were given the keys to the kingdom, if you will, if you were given the chair of power, if you were told you're king at 21, I wonder. This is how, if you will, I mean, this is the previous verse, okay? This is like boom. He did evil in the eyes of the Lord, his God, and did not humble himself before Jeremiah the prophet, who spoke the word of the Lord. So we have, if you will, this situation. Zedekiah is in the line right now of seeing other kings do what they're doing. There's other nations that are coming, and he's seen what's happened when his family has rebelled. He's seen family die on the battlefield. He's seen what it's like to experience this time and time again. And yet, you'd think, there's a clue. Hello. How many of us have seen someone heading down, okay, metaphorically, heading down a dead end? We knew that I don't know if this is a good decision. I don't know if this is the best choice for them. But trying to be supportive as a friend, we kind of step back and, okay, well, you know, good luck. Good luck. Hope it all works out. Sometimes, I mean, people just aren't open, are they? You've had friends, or you will have friends, that will, you feel close to them. You feel you know them. That they're one of your inner circle, if you will. And they'll just come, hey, I got engaged. And you're like, what? I mean, you're just like, whoa, we're all right. They didn't ask you. Guess what? They probably don't want to know what you think, right? Then how about that? Ran into a former youth of mine just Friday night celebrating, if you will, an end of the year ceremony up in Fort Pierce for a youth. And as I'm we're looking for a restaurant to eat at, we just picked this one place, and again, we never go there. It was just one of those rare occasions. So here we are eating dinner and walking back to the car, and it's just as I'm getting in, and again, why we park next to each other, I mean, we're in like this four piers. I mean, there's no good place to park. I mean, I'm getting in the car. I'm like, oh, someone's getting in. Let's wait. And I'll have Leah. I'm like, hold on, honey. And as the door is, as someone's getting in, I see him close. I'm like, whoa, that looks like Lindsay. And I'm like, come on, it can't be Lindsay. I haven't seen her in years. Former youth. And so I'm like, wait. And then the door closes. And I'm like, am I the freaky old guy now? Because I'm like looking in the car like, is that Lindsay? And I'm like, I really hope it's Lindsay. Because again, yeah, you know. And so she opens it up and she's like, Dustin, what's going on? I'm like, oh my goodness, it's so good to see you, Lindsay. What's going on in your world? And she's like, well, did you hear about my divorce? And I went, oh, my heart broke. I mean, just broke. 3-year-old child. But when she got engaged, and she'd tell you this, when she got engaged, there was no asking for input. There was no seeking, you know, counsel. It was, well, I love him, he loves me. And it, unfortunately, some really, really hard challenges. And it's just, my heart broke. But the reality is, God's still for her, and he loves her, and he loves him, and can get them through this. But the challenge for all of us is, what do we do with those decisions? Zedekiah had been warned, Zedekiah had seen, and yet, this is what he decides to do, okay? He's been warned by the prophet Jeremiah, okay? Jeremiah is loud and proud. He doesn't hold back. And Jeremiah goes through and tells him, listen, what are you doing? You are doing evil in God's sight. You need to humble yourself. You need to repent. You need to turn back to the Lord. And so this is what he does. Ready? So in the 9th year of Zedekiah's reign, on the 10th day of the month, this is a historical thing. It actually happened in history, right? Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, marched against Jerusalem with his whole army. See, when he was originally conquered, he was kind of given, if you will, a placement, going, hey, just make sure you don't do anything that's going to cause any trouble. Nebuchadnezzar, some of you that might not know of him, pretty much the second, if not the largest empire at that time, comparative to Egypt. He even actually took down Egypt. And so here we have this mighty, mighty king who's known throughout the world as being ruthless. He's seen what he's done. Nebuchadnezzar conquered their country earlier, seen what he had done, had been warned, listen, I'm going to leave you here, pay your monthly, if you will, tax. As long as you do that and don't cause any trouble, we'll be fine. He just kind of ignores it. He forgets. He probably's like, we'll be fine, no problem. He actually took away his army when he left them in power, took away his army. He had a place, Nebuchadnezzar was so just of a different kind of man, if you will, that every time he conquered a country, he would take their king captive, if at all possible, and then take something that represents their god, the idol of their god and their country. And he, when he'd have parties, would bring out the kings, it's said, to be enchained in gold. And they would come before him and come before the party. And look what my god did to your gods. And so when they took the previous king captive, and when they took, that's right, Israel doesn't have idol. They don't have an idol because God said, listen, there's nothing that can compare to me. Don't make anything. So when they went in the temple originally, they were like, there's nothing here for us. We'll take some candlesticks and some other utensils, and they took that. So he's seen this. He's lived it and breathed it. Every one of us have seen people make bad decisions. Every one of us have seen people that went, oh, this is not a good move. I'm not saying this to make anyone feel bad. I'm saying this to say, even in spite of that, God is working for us. Even in spite of our bad decisions, God is working for us. So he brings his whole army. That's got to freak him out. He then puts an encampment and says, listen, you're getting no food, you're getting no water. I have entrenched the city, in other words. I think this is, if you will, God doesn't count to three, right? He's not like, as a parent, okay, I'm giving you 1, 2. No, he doesn't do that. He's amazingly patient, that's for sure. But again, he sees what he wants us to become. He knows where we're at and loves us and accepts us just right where we're at. I don't care where you're at. I don't care what you're struggling with. He loves you 100% completely. There's nothing you can do to make him love you any more or any less. That's great news. But he loves us so much, he won't let us stay there. And so, this is what, if you will, he goes back to Jeremiah, and he says, Jeremiah, tell me what I need to do now, because apparently there's now a whole army here, and we're not going to have much food and water much longer. What do you think? And this is how Jeremiah replies, but if you will not surrender to the officers, if you just surrender, you'll be fine. But if you don't, of the king of Babylon, the city will be given into the hands of the Babylonians, and they will burn it down. You yourself will not escape from them. No help will come. No chance of a second chance if you don't do this. So what does he do? He doesn't do it. He fights and he runs. The Babylonian army pursued the king and overtook him in the plains of Jericho. All his soldiers were separated from him and scattered, and he was captured to be one of those kings on the golden chain. He was taken to the king of Babylon at Riblah, where sentence was pronounced on him. They killed the sons of Zedekiah before his eyes. His decisions didn't just affect him, and that's where I'm really going with this. The decisions that you and I make affect others. How many of us, and except for people that are on staff here, how many of us have worked for a bad boss? Some of you are listening, that's good. How many of us have had those challenges where we were like, oh, they don't see what they're doing. They don't get it. Some people aren't receptive, that's for sure. But the reality is we need to be receptive. We need to be open. What is the Lord wanting to do in us and through us? How are we making decisions that are affecting so many? It just gets worse here, ready? They put out his eyes, bound him with bronze shackles, and took him to Babylon. Why do I tell you this story? I know Henry's like, come on, man, get to it. Here's why. Because Israel belonged to him. They were his people. He loved them. He loved them so much he wasn't going to let them stay where they were. They belonged to him. And guess what? He had a plan for them and he has a plan for us. He has a plan for you. He has a plan for you. He's not forgotten. And yet sometimes we act like he's not paying attention. Because, come on, there are times we go, man, maybe that's in the, maybe God isn't paying attention. I don't think when I read that in the ninth year, I don't think he started at year nine. I'm sure the first 6 months, maybe the first couple years, Zedekiah was on it. But slowly but surely, he said, my will, not your will. My will, not your will. My will, not your will. God doesn't discipline us to pay us back. Listen to that. If that's all you hear today and you write that down, it would serve you well. Here's what I would encourage you if you like this much. Maybe you can get a tattoo. Steve has one from something I said last year on his arm. You can ask him about it. God disciplines to bring us back. You see the difference here? Not to pay us back, but to bring us back. That's huge. And again, sometimes God's discipline often involves giving us too much of a good thing. Interesting. Think about that for a bit. It'll serve you. So here's some questions I have for you. What area of your life do you need to tell God your will, not my will? Take a moment. Think about that. What area of your life do you need to tell God your will, not my will? See, God is coming for you, not because he is against you, but because he is for you. God's discipline doesn't discipline you to pay you back again. He disciplines you to bring you back. And how far is he willing to go? Well, he shows us that he didn't even spare himself and his son. He sent himself for us. He won't spare your wealth or your health or your career or your reputation to reconnect with you. He cares too much about you to respect that. Remember, you belong to him, and he has a plan for you. Last question, what is the one thing you can do to begin to surrender to your Heavenly Father? I want you to get specific, to the point where tomorrow morning you're thinking, okay, Lord, here's the one thing I'm going to do. It could be give the first 5 minutes to him. It could be I'm going to read a psalm a day. It could be, you know what, I'm going to start praying for our community, for my neighbors, for my family, for our church, maybe for the little children. I pray that God challenges you as much as he challenged me this week in this message. because sometimes it's so easy to go, oh, well, that's not that too big a deal. I have a hunch Zedekiah said those same words. Would you pray with me? Heavenly Father, thank you so very much for who you are and how much you love us, that the discipline you bring to us is not to pay us back, but to bring us back. Lord, the words that Max read, those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline, so be earnest and repent. Here I am. You're waiting. You're eager to come and share life with us and help us to learn how to live better without regrets. And you don't say if perfect people come to you, if all the people that only believe the right things or only do the right things. No, you said if anyone hears my voice and opens the door, that you'll come in. We'll share a meal together. We'll break bread. We'll do life together. And we pray, Lord, that you would help us to embrace what you are doing, embrace what work you're doing in this world, in this community. We lift up our brothers and sisters in Christ. We pray that for our sister churches in ECO, that you would just help us to continue to be a movement. We need it, Lord. We need it so bad. We pray, Lord, that we would not forget those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our country and for this world. We take this moment of prayer and in silence, thank you for them. We remember. We also remember, Lord, the prayer you taught your disciples to pray by saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever and ever. Amen.